Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare.
Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvata Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Prasthachadesha Tadane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasri Gaur Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 61, Verse 7. Tasam yadasa putranam Krishna strinam purodita Ashtamahisyata putran Pradyamnadin angranamite
Tasam, among those who dasa, having 10 putranam, sons, Krishna strinam, wives of Lord Krishna, pura, previously, udita, mentioned, ashtau, 8, mahisya, chief queens, tat, there, putran, sons, pradumnadin, headed by Pradumna, Granami, I shall recite te for you. Translation: among Krishna's wives, each of whom had 10 sons, I previously mentioned 8 principal queens. Now I shall recite for you the names of those 8 queens' sons, headed by Pradumna. The first son of Queen Rukmini was Pradumna, and also born of her were Charudeshna, Sudeshna, and the powerful Charudeha, along with Sucharu, Charugupta, Bhadracharu, Charuchandra, Vicharu, and Charu, the 10th. None of these sons of Lord Hari was less than his father. The 10 sons of Satyabhama were Bhanu, Subhanu, Swarbhanu, Prabhanu, Bhanuman, Chandrabhanu, Brihadbhanu, Hatibhanu, Sribhanu, and Pratibhanu. Samba, Sumitra, Purujit, Satrajit, Sahasrajit, Vijaya, Chitraketu, Vasumandra, Vida, and Krati were the sons of Jambavati. These 10, headed by Samba, were their father's favorites. Purport: Srila Jiva Goswami translates the Kambhamitra Samatha in this verse as highly regarded by their father. The word also indicates that these sons, like the others already mentioned, were regarded as being just like their glorious father, Lord Krishna. The sons of Nagajiti were Vira, Chandra, Asvasena, Chitragu, Vegavan, K, of Risha, Ama, Sanku, Vasu, and the opulent Kunti. Shruta, Kavi, Vrisha, Veera, Subahu, Bhadra, Shanti, Darsha, Purnamasa were the sons of Kalindi. Her youngest son was Somaka. Madra's sons were Pragosh, Gatravan, Simha, Balla, Prabala, Urdaga, Mahashakti, Sahaoja, and Parajita. Madra was also known as Lakshmana. Mitravinda's sons were Vriksha, Harsha, Anila, Gridra, Vardhana, Onada, Mahansa, Pavana, Vani, and Kshudi. Sangramajit, Vrihasena, Sura Praharana, Arijit, Jaya, and Subhadra were the sons of Bhadra, together with Vama, Ayur, and Satyaka. Diptiman, Tamratapta, and others were the sons of Lord Krishna and Rohini. Lord Krishna's son Pradumna fathered the greatly powerful Aniruddha in the womb of Rukmavati, the daughter of Rukmi. O king, this took place while they were living in the city of Bhojakata. Report. Lord Krishna's eight principal queens are Rukmini, Satyabhama, Jambavati, Nagnajiti, Kalindi, Lakshmana, Mitravinda, and Bhadra. Having mentioned all their sons, Sukadeva Goswami now refers to the sons of the other 16,100 queens by mentioning the two principal sons of Queen Rohini, the foremost of the remaining queens. My dear king, the sons and grandsons of Lord Krishna's children numbered in the tens of millions. 16,000 mothers gave rise to this dynasty. King Parikshit said, how could Rukmi give his daughter to his enemy's son? After all, Rukmi had been defeated by Lord Krishna in battle and was waiting for an opportunity to kill him. Please explain this to me, O learned one, how these two inimical parties became united through marriage. So here we have a list of some of the sons of Krishna in Dwarka. So though he had married 16,108 queens, here only the sons of the principal eight queens plus two sons of Rohini, the chief of the other queens, are mentioned. And of course some are very famous like Samba and Pradumna. And why so much attention given to these sons? And that is to show that just like Krishna had 16,108 wives in Dwarka, he was capable of having innumerable sons. And of course, then they had grandsons, etc. And immediately we will ask, well, how can there be so many sons and grandsons and whatever, as well as queens living in Dwarka? So the answer is that the Supreme Lord in any form is unlimited in power. So whether it's Vishnu or Narasimha or Rama or Krishna, they all show unlimited powers, or they have unlimited powers, but they may not show all of the qualities at once. So for instance, Rama only marries one wife, and we see Vishnu with Lakshmi, and then he has some other Shaktis, so 16 principal Shaktis are also there. But we have 16,108 queens in Dwarka. So of all the different forms of the Lord, we see that Krishna in Dwarka manifests great power by marrying 16,108 queens. These queens all gave birth to sons. Of course, there is no birth in the spiritual world. And similarly, though children were born in Dwarka, it is just like Krishna being born. So that we should not consider them born like ordinary people with material bodies. So in other words, they're all eternally there in the spiritual world as well. So we have innumerable sons and grandsons, etc. So in Dwarka, there were countless people there, and the population of simply Krishna's family was huge. What to speak of his army, with all the soldiers, and then the general populace. So there was huge numbers of people there. Again, there's no problem because the spiritual world is not like the material world. We see that Krishna had 16,108 palaces, which was a huge number of palaces to have. Nevertheless, he expanded himself to be in each palace. So he didn't have to walk from one palace to the other and visit each palace simultaneously. He could be in all the palaces because that's the nature of the Supreme Lord. He can be everywhere. And similarly, how to maintain everybody. Not necessary because they're all spiritual bodies. They don't rely on material food and shelter, etc. So the spiritual world, or Dwarka and Vrindavan in the material world, operate quite differently from what we see here, where everything is dependent on something else. And therefore we have to labor hard to maintain anything. So the Supreme Lord can maintain everything without any effort at all. He doesn't have to think about it even. It all goes on by the Lord's internal energy, his Shakti. So he maintains everything in Dwarka with all the 16,108 queens and all their children and all their teachers and all the armies and citizens. All are maintained very simply because it's spiritual world. And the Lord, by his will, simply maintains everyone and satisfies everyone. In the material world, we are prejudiced and we think of one body, two body, three body, 100 bodies, 2,000, whatever. And immediately we think of maintaining them with food and shelter and whatever. And it takes a lot of arrangement. And we see cities have problems. They cannot maintain all the citizens, and some people don't have proper housing, some don't have water, or whatever. And because they have lack sometimes, even the whole country may lack, then they have a war to get some more supplies from someone else. But not like that in the spiritual world. The bodies are not dependent on food and water and whatever. They're completely free of that. And they're not subject to the restrictions of overpopulation and things like this, because there's no space like we know it. There's no limit. So a city may be any size and it can hold everybody. So Dwarka, actually, if we look at the modern town of Dwarka, it's not very big. And then if you go to the underwater, the place that's sunk down, that also is not very big. Maybe it's a few kilometers around or whatever like that. So, if we want to calculate materially 16,108 palaces, they won't fit on that area. We'll just speak of have all these millions of people in it. And similarly, in Vrindavan, it's only, 64 krosas. And within that, we have 3 billion gopis dancing in one little forest. And nobody sees them. And there's 3 billion Krishnas also there. How do they fit? Because it's not the material world. It's not subject to our conception of, limitation. So therefore, in Dwarka, all those people could fit. And the place expanded infinitely. At the same time, if we want, we can measure it. But still, it's not subject to our type of measurement. So we can just think that it's like the spiritual world, where also there's no limitation on size and whatever. Everything can go on unlimitedly expanding without any problem. So therefore, Krishna can expand the place, and he can have 16,108 queens, and he can have infinite number of children and whatnot. And it's not a burden, and he can do it simply with his the use of his internal energy. So nothing is impossible for the Supreme Lord. Therefore, we have descriptions like this where we have a mention of 16,108 queens and palaces, and then numbers of children. So from the first eight queens, the principal queens, here we have the names, the 10 of each queen's sons, the 10 sons of each queen, just to show the great number of devotees in the spiritual world. So, these sons are a little special, and therefore it talks about them being non-different from Krishna. Of course, they're never equal to Krishna. But they are also not like ordinary persons. And in the spiritual world, they're also a little special. They're directly related with the Supreme Lord, being his sons. And therefore, they have a greater number of qualities than other persons in the spiritual world. So in that sense, they're very similar to the Supreme Lord. In the Upanishads, it says that one practices bhakti, and then one attains samya, which means equality to the Supreme Lord. So that doesn't mean one becomes the Supreme Lord, nor does it mean one has got exactly the same powers as the Supreme Lord. That is impossible. But it means there's similarity. In other words, the jiva has a spiritual body, and he's not limited with the material intelligence. He has omniscience, and he has certain characteristics in common with the Supreme Lord. But Rupa Goswami explains that though the jivas can attain 50 of Krishna's 64 qualities, even that is bindu-bindu, little bit, very little. Because the jivas are small by nature, they're anu. So they can have 50 qualities, but a small quantity. So Krishna manifests those 50 qualities, greater degree, in a more wonderful way. But nevertheless, there is similarity between the Lord and his devotees. Therefore, there is relationship. If we have no qualities in common, we can't establish a friendly relationship at all. There's either opposition or just indifference. Mm-hmm. And when we find similar qualities, then we find relationships of friendship, etc. So through the process of bhakti, we worship Bhagavan, Krishna, with 64 qualities. By that association, we also develop similar qualities. Just as if one worships Vishnu with four arms, one develops similar qualities. One goes to the spiritual world, and one has four arms, just like Vishnu. Same complexion, just like Vishnu. But still, qualities less than Vishnu's qualities. And even the 50 qualities that one may get are small amounts. But there's similarity. So, by worshipping Krishna, then one develops qualities similar to Krishna. And we find that some of those devotees are almost as beautiful as Krishna. So Uddhava looked like Krishna. He's a cousin of Krishna. And when the gopis saw Uddhava come to Vrindavan to deliver the message, then they said, oh, Krishna has come. Particularly because he's wearing Krishna's garland, prasad garland. Oh, Krishna's here. Then they looked closely, it wasn't Krishna. And similarly, when the sons are there, like Pradumna or whatever, they look very much like Krishna. Of course, they're in a special category because actually they're also Vishnu Tattva. In the spiritual world, if one worships Krishna, then one has some sort of similarity. But it's also subject to rasa. So those in Madhurya rasa don't look like Krishna. They get female bodies. For those who worship Sakya rasa, then they get bodies somewhat looking like Krishna as cowherd boys, whatever. And there is a similarity between the Lord and his devotees in terms of qualities and appearance, etc., in different forms. So the sons, therefore, of Krishna were in a special category, and they had a great amount of power. So in that sense, they were almost like Krishna because of their high position and endowment of different qualities. The jiva, though he can attain qualities similar to Krishna, is limited because we see that the jivas have 50 qualities, Krishna has 64 qualities, and Vishnu has 60 qualities. So some things are limited in the jivas, even in perfection. For instance, they cannot create universes. We see Mahavishnu through his pores, universes emanate. No jiva can do that. So in that sense, this is not similar, dissimilar. Similarly, through the Lord, we have innumerable avatars manifesting in the material world. Jivas cannot do that. And even Shiva cannot do that. And Shiva's not a jiva, but he cannot also do that. And the Lord has extraordinary powers that are not manifested in the normal jivas. Now, if they're special jivas, like Shaktivashtavata, they get a little more powers. But still, they're not in the same category as Supreme Lord. But most important of all, the distinction is not just in qualities and activities, but the Swarup is different. The jiva by nature is anu and dependent at all times. The Supreme Lord is Vibhu, all-pervading, the biggest. Unlimited in power and whatever other quality we can think of. Therefore, even the jivas in the spiritual world are by nature, by surup, different from Supreme Lord. So we have nitya siddhas, those who are never contaminated by material energy, but they're jivas. So we call them jiva because they're never the Supreme Lord. They never become Bhagavan. They're always jiva. But they are distinct from the jivas in the material world, who are covered by ignorance. But Krishna is so kind that he allows the jivas in ignorance to get samya. They can also become like the nityasiddhas, who are also very similar to the Lord with qualities, etc., to the degree that a jiva can do so. So in the spiritual world, they become like the nityasiddhas, endowed with perfect qualities and spiritual form, etc. So though the jiva cannot become the Lord and become equal to the Lord is so kind that he allows the jivas to control him. So the Lord is swatantra or independent, but through prema, and then the Lord becomes dependent. And the devotee becomes more powerful than the Lord. The Lord is dependent on the devotee. That's the mercy of the Lord. Now his nature is to be swatantra, independent. But due to bhakti, he serves the devotee. So this is the great compassion of the Supreme Lord, that he puts himself in a lower position for the devotee in the spiritual world. Nevertheless, the jiva still remains a jiva, he doesn't change, and Supreme Lord always remains Bhagavan, Supreme Lord, different from the jiva, constitutionally. But that gap between the jiva and the Supreme Lord is bridged by bhakti, or prema. And when it becomes intense, then the distinctions disappear, and the Lord serves the devotee. And that is particularly true in Vrindavan, where the devotees never see the Lord as Supreme Lord, and therefore the relationship becomes more intense. And Krishna serves them in all sorts of ways. Our Lord, by his infinite capacity, can expand himself and please all these different jivas. And similarly, he can please all the queens in Dwarka. And he can establish relationships and take care of and have affection for all of the sons, no matter how many sons are there, because he can expand himself into unlimited forms, and it's not necessary to waste time. So he can simultaneously please all of the queens and all of the sons in the spirit in the Dwarka without any effort at all. So, through the expansion of Dwarka with all the queens and all the sons, we get an expansion of rasa, because we have relationships. We have 16,108 varieties of Madhurya rasa with the queens. All different varieties of Madhurya Rasa with each one. And with the sons, there is, it's not Vatsalya Rasa, it's the opposite, it's Dasya, because the children have respect for their father. So it's a type of Dasya called Gaurava Rasa, and great respect. But it's a Dasya with parental feelings on the part of Krishna, and identity of Krishna as their father on the part of the children. And so we have innumerable forms of Krishna pleasing these different sons and satisfying them in different ways. So in this way, yeah, with all of these different expansions of queens and sons, etc., then Krishna has opportunity to increase rasa with all these individuals. And this is a display of his great affection for his devotee. And it also shows how Krishna comes under the control of his devotees in these different relationships. So therefore these descriptions are put there just to show the expansion of rasa in with Krishna in Dwarka, and how it can go to unlimited degrees with all of these different personalities.
Raja, the jivas can get 50 qualities in minute form. So they can be any 50, or there are fixed, these are among these 50 only they can get the qualities of the Lord.
Well, this is all very general, because in Nectar Devotion it mentions 50 qualities, and then Krishna has 64, etc. But that's not a complete list. It's a general list that we can always make with it. We can say, what about that quality? It's not mentioned there, but it usually can be included within one of those qualities as a subcategory like that. But in any way, there's infinite number of qualities, different qualities. And this is just to give us an idea of the relationship between the qualities of the jiva and the qualities of Shiva and Vishnu and Supreme Lord in terms of proportion. But it's not never exact, because qualities are unlimited and they're always expanding in Krishna, so we can never count. It's not the 64 qualities and he has no more qualities. He's got infinite qualities. So this is just to give us a little idea of the difference between the Supreme Lord and the jivas and Shiva and Vishnu.
Here it mentioned that 16,108 Krishna married. So can you say that in spiritual also same like 16,108 or that in a, especially in Dwaraka part he has only
most this. Likely, yeah, I would think so. Spiritual world also same number.
And you mentioned one more thing, Maharaj, this all sons are Vishudatta. All sons are Vishudatta.
No, not all sons.
Only Pradyumna
Adi Vrata.
And others are Jivatattva.
Looks like it.
Prabhupada often makes the point that we are qualitatively equal to the Lord. So our philosophy also is the qualitative oneness. So does it mean only to the extent of 50 qualities?
Yeah, because we cannot create universes, we cannot expand into avatars. It's only that's the speciality of the Lord.
But then there is also this thing, like for example, Prabhupada gave the example, you can perspire and he'll produce a few drops, but Krishna can perspire and produce a whole ocean. Similarly, yeah. We can expand into 9 forms, but Krishna can. So is there a similarity in every sense in some regard?
Yeah, but still we cannot produce avatars, or we cannot create universes. There are certain powers that the Lord has that we don't have. Or we can say we have something similar to that, but the Lord has it to a more extraordinary degree, whatever He has. So we can produce children in the material world, maybe. And spiritual world, you can also have children, but we're going to have infinite number of children. Like that. And we can create something, but we can't create a material universe. Yeah. In the spiritual world, you have satya sankalpa, so whatever you think of manifests. So if you want a new house, you get a new house. You want a new garden, you get a new garden. You want mangoes, you have mangoes, like that. So you can get things like that. But Krishna can do that to a greater degree than we can.
I think here we have a whole list of names, but we know that here the names are all connected to Krishna and his family. But in the Bhagavatam, other places also, we have a list of names of the different dynasties and things like that. So on the one hand we say Bhagavatam is Amala Purana. So these other list of dynasties, they're all pure devotees or
before and after?
Yeah. No, you have in the earlier cantos for, like the whole list of dynasties and the people in that dynasty.
Well, some of those dynasties actually come from the Manu.
Okay.
Now we have Swayambhuva Manu, and then now we have Vaivasvata Manu, and then there's tracing of lineages, I think in the ninth canto. It traces the lineage from Vaivasvata Manu down, and then we get a split. We get the Sun Dynasty, we get the Moon Dynasty, and then eventually we get to Krishna, Rama, and then we get to Krishna in those dynasties. So those Manus are just, they're jivas with special powers called vibhutis. Like the devatas are vibhutis of the Lord, the great sages are vibhutis of the Lord. They're jivas, and the Lord gives them a little special power. And so that's what the Manus and their descendants are also. So those dynasties, therefore, are jivas with special powers given by the Lord. They're devotees.
No, my question was that why are all those names listed there? Like, it's like a whole list of names.
What are they there for?
Yes.
To trace the whole lineage of... Of course, in this case, the lineage is there to show how Krishna is born in the Moon Dynasty and how Rama is born in the Sun Dynasty. So they have to trace back the whole dynasties. And we see they come from respectable families, that is, descendants of Manu. The kings come from those dynasties. So one of the purposes of Bhagavatam is Manvantara, to describe the different periods, 14 periods in the day of Brahma and the Manu and their descendants. They're not conscious of trying to control Krishna, but it's Krishna's spontaneous response to their love that he's so much controlled by their love, he's willing to do anything, that's all. So in other words, it's merely an expression of the great devotion in the relationship between the devotee and Krishna. What is the rasa of the sons of Krishna? So this is a type of dasya. The opposite is Madhurya, where the devotee is the parent and Krishna is the son. That's Vatsalya. From the point of view of the devotee, they're taking care of Krishna and he's unprotected, etc. So they regard Krishna as their child. So in this case, we have the devotee as the son and Krishna as the parent. So the relationship of the son to the parent is not Vatsalya, because he's not taking care of Krishna. It's the opposite. Krishna's taking care of him. So it's a type of dasya, and it's called Gaurava Rasa, where the son regards Krishna as with respect and greatness and whatever like that. And the Lord supplies everything, taking care of the devotee.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, 16,108 wives gave only sons, no daughters. Even as Ram, he had only sons, no daughters.
Daughters also there. Yeah. It's mentioned later on, some daughters.
They also created some duplicate heaven
planets. Yeah, planets, not universe. The yogis can play planets also, but not universe.
Like sometimes we see Durvas also out of his here, he also creates some living entities. How to see this thing?
Well, these are siddhis. But Krishna is Yogeshwara. He's a Yogeshwara. He's the greatest of all yogis, so he can do more than any yogi can do. So by their powers of yoga, yes, they may create a planet or do certain miraculous things, but Supreme Lord does much more than that. And he's the one that bestows these cities upon jivas. So, creation of material planets is a manipulation of material energy. So to some degree, we can manipulate material energy, we can make things like this. And if you got more power, then you can make bigger things until you can make a whole planet.
What about the giving new body to the living entities?
Well, they're just simply resuscitating them, that's all. It's not that they are creating life as such, because you can't create a jiva. But this allow the jiva to stay in the body a little longer, that's all. Just like medicine can do that. So we say the greater doctors, that's all. They got a power to resuscitate the jiva in that body by adjusting the body. Just like Ayurveda extends the life also. So the yogi can extend somebody's life a little longer also by his yogic power.